Welcome to NavyBMR.com, where we hope to advance your career. NavyBMR.com is an unofficial website and shall not claim to be, nor should it be assumed, to be affiliated with the United States government, Department of Defense, or the United States Navy. Information contained herein is unclassified and is for reference and education only and shall not be considered official policy or directive. Hello, my name is Steve. I'll be your instructor today. Today we're going to be talking about Navy Education Training 14295 Bravo, specifically Chapter 11, Fundamentals of Patient Care. Now, as I've said in previous videos over some of the chapters that we've discussed in this, the patient is number one. Our primary job is to be masters of our craft, and our craft as healthcare professionals is patient assessment. That is the breakdown, the bread and butter of who we are and what we strive to be the best at. So right here, our bread and our butter, the patient is number one. No matter what level, what echelon you work at, whether you're blue side, whether you're green side, OCONUS, at a training command, no matter what it is, you are trying to become the best corpsman, best healthcare professional for that patient that walks into your door or is laying on your bed. You have to make sure that you are the best at what you do for them, because that is who we're here for. So right there, right off the bat, patient is number one. Now, the rights and the responsibilities of a patient, that actually comes from the Joint Commission. So if you see something on your exam that's talking about where the rights and responsibilities are kind of coming from, it's that JTC, the Joint Commission. Now, we've got a little bit of a break on this one, as some of them have none, some of them only have a few, and we've had some chapters that we go through, and we're going to get hammered with instructions. So this one is nice. It's easy to remember. They're both BUMED instructions, okay? So that takes out 50% of it right there. And they're both 6300 series. And as you get more comfortable learning and memorizing your instructions, you're going to find that you start memorizing the series, and then you're already halfway there. You can start deducting some of them from your advancement exam if you're lucky. So they're both 6300 series. The Healthcare Administration is BUMED Instruction 6300.10, okay? Whereas the 6320.83, all right, that's going to be your provisions of standbys during medical examinations. Okay, those are the two instructions that we're going to focus on in terms of this specific chapter for Chapter 11. Okay, now, a couple things that we have to uphold is our ethics, right, and culture. These are two things that we have not only as hospital corpsmen, but also as service members. We are held to that higher standard. So ethics is... for advancement exam purposes, anything that kind of talks about on advancement exams, you're going to find that it's going to be more formal definitions. Like we've talked about before, when we talked about disinfectants and sterile surfaces or sterilization procedures, you know what it is, but can you tell me the official definition? Well, if you went through those previous chapters with me, you probably have a better idea now. So when we're talking about ethics and we're talking about culture, we're talking about a system of moral principles or standards of conduct, okay? So a system of moral principles or standards of conduct. That's going to be our ethics-based stuff. So everyone's got different backgrounds they come from. Some humor, for example, may be more acceptable to them. Right and wrong varies across cultures, across areas. And so what we find is, for example... the humanitarian aid, for example, that we may put forth in the Horn of Africa. When I was in the Horn of Africa, I had some experiences with pediatric patients being very ill or injured, and it was not a big deal to the father or the mother, depending on who was there, because that was just part of their way of life. And whether it be that, well, I need to do this, I'm going to stop giving them the medication because I'm going to take it so I can keep working or something, or Well, they shouldn't have climbed that tree. Now they have the infection. That's not my fault. There was different moral or ethical components to their culture that it's not going to change, and it may frustrate you. And so you're there for the patient, and so some of these things kind of become convoluted. So that's just a little example of some of the dynamics that you may come across. Culture, all right, it's a group of socially learned shared standards and behaviors and behavioral patterns. That's a little bit of two formal definitions. I wouldn't focus too many on the other definitions, but in terms of medicine, the two big ones that you're always going to kind of consider that tie into it is culture, not only just who we are, but who you're maybe be around and treating, and the ethics, that ethical standard that we hold as healthcare professionals, okay? Now, as anything, you can't do a good patient assessment. You can't do an interview. You can't do anything without proper communication, okay? So the four main parts of a sound and effective communication is going to be the sender. Okay, so that's going to be me communicating to you. All right, I am sending you this. And then the message itself, the presentation in this case. What is the exact information that, and how am I conveying that to you? Is it effective? Are you understanding what I'm trying to get at? And then the receiver, you, or whoever it is you're speaking to, or you're writing to, whatever it may be. Are you presenting the message in that format for them to understand? As sailors in today's Navy, we're all across the globe. We're having opportunities and challenges treating patients from different countries, different backgrounds and cultures. And so are you able to implement health education programs, for example? And then the feedback, what you're giving back to us. Now, I hope that we're getting good feedback. I encourage you to send us feedback. I just would take the moment to say that. And please let us know if there's something we're not providing you. So that is something in this specific example, that send us your feedback. Tell us what it is. Maybe we're missing something that you need more clarity on, or another you need additional assistance on. We're here and we're happy to do that for you. Okay? Because without all of those, without those four blocks, ineffective communication is a roadblock. It's going to stop whatever it is you're trying to move forward on. And so in this case, if you come in with a bad attitude, for example, and you walk into your medical space and you're told that you have a patient in room one, and you go in there and you were up all night and you're tired and maybe you got a new baby at home, you're up watching these videos in the middle of the night after work trying to study for your advancement exam, and you show up and you haven't had your coffee yet, and chief's yelling at you, or your LPO's grumpy, and you didn't do well on something, or you're trying to cram for a warfare board, and you've just got all this stuff. Life just builds up around you, okay? You come in with that attitude, it can be a roadblock to them opening up and letting you know that something's going on. Maybe they're having some psychological issues. Maybe they're having physical abuse. Maybe they're depressed. Whatever it may be, having that effective communication with them, being open to receive that, is going to help you become a better healthcare professional. So ineffective communication, that's your roadblock. All right, so our psychosocial barriers. This is going to be something that you may see on there. If it lists out, I would say you may see this more geared toward some like third class exams. I remember stuff, some basic level things on there regarding patient care. You're going to start seeing, as your exams build, you're going to see different echelons of questions, if you would, building up to more big picture, your tiered umbrellas. And so if you see something as it breaks down into the smaller barriers, you're looking at therapeutic communication, psychosocial barriers, okay? That psychosocial is going to be the most common. That's going to be the most difficult to overcome. Think of it like stigma, okay? If you've got some sort of negative connotation tied to someone's culture, someone's background, education, whatever it may be, it helps block any sort of real feedback that you may be receiving. So some may work on the private EMS side, Okay, you make a lot of homeless people. All of a sudden, somebody may have, for example, real chest pain. Okay, and you're tired of seeing that homeless person or homeless people all the time, and you have a stigma where all they want is something. They just want to go and get free food at the hospital, or they just want to be warm or something. But maybe you have that person that may have real chest pain. That stigma, that psychosocial barrier that you may build, for example, may block you from being able to provide that healthcare professional standard that we strive to have as a hospital corpsman. Okay, therapeutic communication, that's going to be that face-to-face. It's really good for collecting info. And what I mean by that is, what's going on with the patient? How are you feeling? What's going on with you? What may be the root cause of this? And start building up that case where you can actually develop that plan. So it's good for collecting info. It's good for modifying behavior. It gets to that point where you can start taking down some of these roadblocks. You can start building a rapport with them, and they can start maybe having that more open and trusting mentality, if you would. So that can help modify that behavior, as well as provides health education. So maybe they don't realize what the stressor is. Maybe they don't realize what's going on in their life or how to cope with it, different coping mechanisms. And so providing that that health education, for example, tobacco use. So when we're sitting there, we're going through our periodic health assessments, we always ask them about their safe sex practices, their tobacco and alcohol use, go into the different components of working out and eating right to help maintain that healthy stress level dynamic. Those are some of the different things that we can do as healthcare professionals, as hospital corpsmen, talking to your sailors, talking to your Marines, and providing that kind of feedback to them, because they're going to want that. They may act like they don't, but that's what we're here for. All right, and let's get smart. So what do I mean by that? Well, okay, once you get your patient assessment down, once you get your hands on the patient, once you know how to talk to them, okay, we know where to reference our stuff, right? We have our BuMed instructions. What good is it if we can't put it on paper? So you have to put pen to paper, and you have to do it effectively. And all the way from HMA school, we learn about the SOAP note. SOAP note, if you don't know, is that it's for a really good breakdown, is in the ManMed chapter 16, okay? ManMed chapter 16 has a really good breakdown of some stuff that you can pull from to help develop those SOAP notes. But that's going to be your subjective, your objective, your assessment, and your plan, okay? What do they say to you? What do I see once I get my hands on you and start doing my assessment? What's my diagnosis, and what are we going to do to fix it? And don't forget that you also have to do, again, that patient education. So, right, we want to get smart. We want to educate ourselves, and then we want to take that, and we want to translate it. We want to use that effective communication, and we want to translate that down to whatever level our patient is. And so that's a little bit about where we're going to go there. Patient education is the key. This chapter is very short. There's not a lot to it that you're going to see maybe specific advancement exam questions on. But what this is, like some of the other chapters that we've had and some that we're going to go over, they tie into and kind of feed that road as everything starts branching off into different directions, because Navy medicine is big. Navy medicine is all over, and it's a great community to be a part of, and I hope that you're proud to be a part of it. We are here in hopes to help you succeed in expanding your own horizons and succeed in the advancement exam. So I would, again, kind of look over those BuMed instructions. That 6300 series is one that you're going to deal with your whole career. So I would definitely strongly encourage you to start glancing through those 6300 series instructions, because I guarantee you on every advancement exam, you're going to see something that has to do with some of those chapters. But again, my name is Steve with Navy BMR. I know this was a short chapter, and I look forward to seeing you next time. I highly encourage you to check out NavyBMR.com, where we have practice exams, audio files. We have a lot of other videos. We have a lot of resources for you to pull from. And again, be that healthcare professional. Get your hands on patients. Start building that rapport, and I will see you next time.